Hi there, everybody. It's Damien and Phyllis, and unusually, neither of us could be available on the Tuesday night of the call. So we've done a special pre-record for everybody, so that at least you've got something high-quality to listen to, apart from all the other high-quality stuff you might be listening to on a daily basis anyway, but something that actually allows you to feel like we're still around, so to speak. Phyllis is somewhere gallivanting around the universe, and I'm right now, while you're listening to this, I'm flying on a plane to Auckland. So I'll be...
Well, actually, we're both going to be up in the sky because I'm flying at the same time.
You'll be gallivanting.
Gallivanting, okay. I'll take that.
It's like, Phyllis, at this point in time, there's so many people doing this challenge in just different phases, different stages of the 112-day challenge. Some people have been doing this for years. Some people are now... you know, a couple of months into it, and some people are actually just 4 weeks into this challenge, and there's so many different things that people could be going through, and I thought it'd be a good idea that we maybe chat about those sorts of things before we get into some nutrition chat about, you know, what many people might be asking questions about right now.
Mm-hmm. Great.
You're all right with that?
I'm totally ready and right.
All right, well, good. So there's, and we say this all the time, I've never had to lose weight before, so I don't really know what the psychology is like. I had the pleasure of interviewing a guy, Dean Manning, last night for the Wellness Guys, and he was really fit. Do you know his story? Have you heard his story before?
No, love to hear it.
Dean Manning is a guy who wrote a book called Fit to Fat to Fit, and he was super fit, like ripped, like massive dude, and in terms of like really muscly. And he then decided that he was going to put on weight for 6 months. And so he stopped training and just ate a normal diet. So when I say normal, it was cereal for breakfast, a glass of juice, a morning tea, sandwich for lunch, like, or a couple of peanut butter sandwiches for lunch, then a muesli bar for afternoon tea, and then some pasta or rice for dinner. And he put on 75 pounds, which is 30 something kilos, in just on 6 months, lost all of his shape. It's an amazing story. And then he went to try and lose all that weight again, and it took him another 6 months to get it all off and get back to being ripped again. And his story is just absolutely amazing. It's incredible. But one of the things that we spoke about was the psychology of that, because as you're putting on the weight, you know, you can kind of, he felt like he was slipping away. He didn't have that mental nous, that sharpness. He felt like he didn't actually have control of his world. He was very angry. Even though he was getting frustrated, agitated, and more stressed, his testosterone was slipping, and so as a result, his sex life, you know, was altered. He started to display more inappropriate characteristics for his body type, being that he was a male, he was starting to show female characteristics of his body type as a result of just eating a normal diet. And so there's many people in this challenge at the moment who have done the reverse, and they're actually now losing the weight. At the point where he was at the 26 weeks point, halfway through, he started to lose weight again. And he said that it was so mentally challenging. And I thought that we should touch on that, because Phyllis, you've lost weight before. Mm. And, you know, tell us about the mental challenges people go through at this stage.
I think that there are so many things that happen for people, and that's why I think when I write anything or send anything out, a lot of people respond back and go, oh, that's me, or I felt like I was reading about myself. And it's because, and I always say this, we're more similar than we are different in a lot of our experiences. But I think when the psychology of weight loss, you get hit from so many angles. Mm. So you've got your own mental self-talk that's going on. You've got, you know, as a human being, we always base what we know in the future on past experiences. So you've got that. All of the past comes with you. Mm. So you've got messages that you give to yourself. Society's giving you messages. Your partner's giving you messages. You know, magazines are giving you messages. Television's giving you messages. Commercials are giving you messages. No matter where you are or what happens, it's this constant, and I don't want to use the word attack because often it's subliminal and you don't even know that it's happening. So, and also I think the other thing too, the chemical response to food, which, you know, is your area, Damien, but it's almost like this mouse wheel. So you're on this wheel, and the more of the thing that you don't want is the thing that you do, which makes you do more of the thing you don't want. So, and he probably talks about in his book, and as you were talking, I downloaded it on my Kindle for reading while I'm gallivanting. Mm-hmm. But and also remembering he comes from a male perspective, but we've still got similarities. is that I think that in general, this comes not just with food, but a lot of things that happen in our lives, we become used to it. So our body, because our bodies are great, they adapt, but often the adaption comes not to serve you. So therefore, it's almost like you're living less than you could, but you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of people who are doing 112, they'll say things that it's like my whole life has changed, and that's because a lot of, you know, once you actually start doing the weight loss and eating for health, all of these other things happen, so cross-training across everything, and suddenly life becomes a whole lot better. There's a book called, which if anyone does want to read it, and they are struggling with that whole negative aspect of, you know, trying to lose weight and feeling like they're not succeeding, and it's called Love Yourself. And there's a, you know, Tim Ferriss, who wrote the 4-day week and For Our Body and all of that.
Yeah,
he's
right.
A guy that everybody thinks has just got it all together, but he went through a funk in a stage in his life. So, you know, he's recommending this Love Yourself book. And when you read it, you might think, a little bit woo-woo, but it's actually about giving yourself those messages. They're not going out and having all these affirmations, but just quieting down, taking the time, because, and I say this often, you can't look after what you don't love.
Good point.
So that was long, wasn't it, for one question?
That's amazing. I think that's, I was going to say that's the longest you've ever spoken, but it's not true. That's not true. But I know that's such a good answer. It's such a good point. There's a couple of great points that you're making there. You can't love what you don't love. That's important to keep in mind.
You can't look after what you don't love.
True. Yeah. It's early in the morning. You can't look after what you don't love. And it's so true. You know, if you don't, you can apply that to everything in your life, whether it's your job, whether it's your cat, whether it's your children, whether it's yourself. And more often than not, many people put everything else before themselves, and as a result they don't have enough love to go around, and they don't end up loving themselves, so they let themselves go, and you love yourself less as a result of doing that, because you become less of a priority. That's such an important thing to talk about. You also mentioned that you know, when you're doing something, it becomes just what you do, and this is what Dean was saying. He said that even now, even though he was a super fit, you know, gym junkie, ripped body, super healthy, and he's now back in that sort of shape again. He still now gets those cravings for the foods that he hadn't ever eaten before.
And how, like, that just makes me actually really upset, because a lot of people, women, and maybe I'm going to talk from that point of view, we spend all this time thinking we don't have willpower.
Yeah.
And the thing that happens is those chemical responses that our body is supposed to do. And I would say the thing that you don't want is the thing you often get, because you're focusing on it. So therefore, the thing that you do want is the thing that you need to be focusing on.
You repress, you express.
Yeah, and that whole energy thing, you know, I say to people, you know, when you get home, you're absolutely exhausted, you lay down on the couch, there's no way the energy is going to flow into your body from laying on the couch. So the very thing that you don't want to do is the thing that you need to do. To get energy, you've got to spend energy.
Mm.
So that's why we always feel afterwards, you know, when you've gone and done something and you think, oh, my gosh, I actually feel really good.
Yeah.
It's because it's what you need to be doing. So if you want love, you've got to give love. If you want money, you've got to actually, you know, money's got to flow. It's all those kind of things. So the thing that you want, you've actually got to go out and do.
Yeah, that's right. When you say if you want money, you've got to go out and spend it, does that mean you've got to put it on credit card?
No, we're not going to get into the whole psychology of that.
Okay.
But, you know, I actually read something yesterday that said about, you know, people think the trouble with the world is there's not enough money to go around, but it's actually the way that it flows and distribution, but we're not talking about that. But same thing, you know, if you want... you know, if you want to become the thing that you want to become, you actually, it's be, do, have. Often people think, oh, when I get it, I will then be able to, when I have this. Mm. You've got to actually just go out and be. We're human beings, not human doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another great point. Wow, you're full of great points today. That's great, Phyllis. You must be inspired. You must be excited about going on holidays.
I am actually, because this, you know what? I'm such a workaholic. And I actually do love working,
yeah.
But this is going to be the first holiday ever that I'm not available to anybody,
yeah.
Except myself and the people that I'm going with,
yeah.
And I'm not having my computer, I'm not having my phone. So 12 days is going to be quite interesting, but, you know, that's great. And again, you know, that whole guilt, and you're talking about, you know, not enough to go around when the people run out of love, they don't look after themselves first.
Yeah.
Again, it's about that being selfish, and we have such a negative connotation to the word selfish.
Oh, I know, don't we? It's a bit ridiculous. But I've just come back from a holiday, and I did that exact same thing. You might have noticed, Phyllis, that I was hard to get a hold of. But, I did turn my computer on, I think, 3 times while I was away. And I gave myself permission. Actually, Amber gave me permission. I didn't give myself permission. Amber gave me permission to have the computer on for a couple of hours.
So well tried. So well tried.
So she was able to, you know, crack the whip enough to let me know that I've got to really, you know, just relax and chill out, and it's amazing the clarity that that actually does bring. It's great. So good on you. Good luck. Hopefully you enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, I don't. And I just put up a wee picture. You know how Facebook people put pictures. Oh gosh, might untag myself in those ones.
Are you doing Facebook at the moment?
I'm just looking. So you were talking about listen, because I'm going to write something. Because what you just said about your holiday or your time away, Do Santamata wrote, taking time to do nothing often brings everything into perspective. So it's about allowing yourself to have those times to reflect. And doing nothing doesn't mean that you need to sit on the bum. You could be out walking and doing nothing, you know, that whole mental break from things. So, yeah. Well done, Damien, for taking a break.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Definitely needed it. It was good for my psychology, actually. It's amazing. It's amazing the difference it makes. So that brings me to another thing, and that's giving yourself a break, but not a break from the things that you need to do, but a break from the challenges of people. And so sometimes what you're going to do is you're going to mix it up, or you've got to move away from people that might be a bit negative around you. And so what you'll find when you're losing weight, you'll get a whole bunch of comments, and some of these comments are affirming, and some of these comments are a bit detracting. And the comments that are affirming, they're the people that you want to be around, especially if they're honestly, genuinely affirming the steps you're taking to get you to the place where you want to be. But there'll be some people that are, you know, kind of as a throwaway line will say, oh, you're doing a great job, good on you. You don't necessarily want to be around those people, because once they've said that, you're also going to continue to seek validation from them, and their line might have been just a little bit of a throwaway line. It wasn't really said genuinely. Not that they didn't mean to say it genuinely, they just didn't really think about it. But so you just be conscious that you're surrounding yourself with people who actually really do care, and actually who are really saying, you know, the right things at the right time for the right reasons. And there'll be people that are saying, oh, don't lose too much weight, because, you know, if you lose too much weight, you'll look old and haggard, or your skin will start to sag, or, you know, you look like a ghost, or you look like a skeleton with skin on. You know, I know, Phyllis, you would have had those sorts of experiences whilst you're going through your journey as well. Tell us about what those three sets of people can actually do to your psychology.
Well, there's so many facets to each set of those people, because in one way you want to hear the things about how good you're looking and all those things, because, you know, we are, human beings are ego-based, and it does help build you, you know, and build your self-esteem and all those kind of things. But then the danger is down the track complacency comes, because, oh, I've done this and I look great and everything's awesome and blah, blah, blah. And also thinking about one of the challengers who remained nameless but who lost all her weight. We had a conversation one day and it really stuck in my mind. And what happened to her was every single person who saw her was overwhelmed by her transformation.
Yeah.
But what actually happened is she got addicted to hearing it from everybody. And when everybody had seen her and she'd run out of, you know, everybody seeing her, like everybody had seen her, remembering this was like a 20-something week journey that she did one and a half to two challenges, there was this emptiness for her. So what happened was she wasn't, she didn't kind of own it on the inside, and she needed that external affirmations constantly. So it was like, well, what now? Because I'm not hearing things from people. So you kind of got to be your own best friend and be aware of what the reasons are and why you're doing it. Because if you're health-focused, the people that I noticed health focus, and you may not be, that might not be the reason why you start, but hopefully it's the reason when you finish. They go on to do lots of things, you know, like look, I'm 112 and they're off doing CrossFit competitions, and, you know, they continue doing things that support their new lifestyle. If it's just totally ego based, that's when you might struggle.
Yeah, that's right. it has to be, great point, it has to be a lifestyle change. But that was the point I was saying before, is that you'll look and you'll seek external validation. And if you're looking for external validation, you're not actually believing in yourself. You're looking for other people to prop you up and carry you on this journey. Everyone else has their own stuff that they've got to deal with on a daily basis. So everyone's doing stuff. It just might not be having to lose weight. But it could be that they're dealing with a relationship breakdown. It could be they're dealing with stress at work. It could be they're dealing with a problem child. It could be they're dealing with financial struggles. It could be they're dealing with other types of demons, alcoholism. It could be that they haven't reconciled some differences with people that they know and that really is eating away with them. Everyone has stuff that they've got to deal with on a daily basis. They don't need to take on your stuff. So you might, you know, they should be forgiven for not praising you every second of the day. So try not to align everyone else's praise to, you know, let you know how well you're going. Find yourself the measures that are most appropriate for you. So whether it be the belt size that you're wearing, whether it be the bra size that you're wearing, whether it be the clothes that you're wearing, the weight on the scales, whether it be your waist measurement, find all the measures that you possibly can that are going to help you and support you to get you where you want to be. By all means, surround yourself with people who can support you and bring you up and positively affirm what you're actually doing. But at the same time, don't rely on that, because if you do rely on it and it stops and it comes to a screeching halt, or one of those people that you've put on a pedestal to affirm your role and your presence and everything and your success forgets one day to say how good you look, you might take it to heart, and all of a sudden you start to revert back to the little demons that are sitting on your shoulders. And that's, you know, I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind.
Mm. And also, I think too, you know, if one of the things that I try to remember to do is if people's comments really affect you in quite a deep way, so you start thinking, oh, I wonder if they meant, or was that a genuine compliment, or la 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 la, you know, this brain chatter, to just ask yourself, so, you know, so why do I feel like this about that? Just, you know, maybe thinking about that you're looking, making stuff up, be aware of making stuff up. So sometimes what people actually say is actually what they mean. Mm. And at the end of the day too, I often talk in the leadership workshops that I do about being Teflon. You don't have to take on everything that people say to you. So you can make a decision to go, you know what, I'm just going to let that one slide off me.
Yeah.
So if somebody throws a negative thing at you, often it's more about them than it is about you, because if you change and they're your best friend, people have heard me say before in a group of four sets of friends that we often do things together. When I lost my weight, we were away at New Year's, and she turned around and said to me, now what am I going to do? I'm going to be the fattest wife. And I thought, oh, it was my role. I was the fattest wife, which made it feel better. So, yeah. You know, sometimes you've got to be Teflon and just go, you know what, I'm just not taking it on board. Mm. Because it can play with your mind, you can replay it, you can build it, and suddenly this tiny little dot has become a massive snowball. So, you know, let something slide off you.
It's still surprising. It blows me away that someone would actually say that to you. I would have at least kept that a secret. I just would have kept it a secret. It just.
Well, you know what? Being, you know, I was 57 kilos and feeling great, and it just affected me so much. And I thought, wow, I didn't know that was my role. I made three other women feel good about themselves because apparently I was the fattest wife. So it was pretty awful. But at the same time, you know, like I just said, I it really affected me, and I played that over and over and over and over again. It doesn't serve you. So you've got to just choose to let it go, let it slide off, and think, well, okay, maybe, you know. And the reason why it would have come from her is that then she had to look at herself. So, and people, again, you know, just because you are improving yourself or improving your health does not mean that anyone else has to step up to the plate. You've got to make it your own journey. So don't become like a reformed smoker and start, you know, telling people what they have to do. Yeah. The best example you can do is by example. So if you want someone else to change, you can't make people change. People, it's an attitude thing, you know. So people can't, you can't change attitude, but they can catch it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, wow. You're profound.
I know. Like a wee Buddha.
Should I rub your tummy?
No. That would just be, it would be,
Yeah, it would be. You're right. There's not a whole lot of stuff going on in the nutrition world at the moment, but I know that there's a whole bunch of people who have received their reports in the last few weeks, and there'll be people asking questions like, why can't I eat these foods when I'm on, and I've got body type 2? Or how come that person with body type 4 can eat what I can't on body type 3? You know, what is it with body type 1s and they can't have this and I'm supposed to eat it but I don't like it, can I be a body type 1? The reason why I've given you a body type is just to try and make it easier for you. And it's not that I've tried to make it difficult, because I haven't been into your pantry. Had I been into your pantry with a red bin and, you know, thrown a whole lot of stuff out, then maybe I might have tried to make it more difficult for you. What I've tried to do is create a really easy list based on your bloods, based on the information you provided. Many people provide me with absolutely the skintest amount of information, which makes it really, really difficult for me to go and select the body type for you. So if you didn't provide me with a lot of information, and you know that you didn't provide me with all the information that you could have, for example, you only filled out 9 of the 15 first lines within the questionnaire, which is your name, address, date of birth, blood type, zinc levels, all those sorts of things. If you only filled out like 9 of those lines, you didn't give me enough information. I need all the information. So if you haven't given me everything, then you've kind of got to go with the body type I've given you, or work out which body type you prefer to be. But the reason why I've done this is to, just through the years and years of me helping people lose weight and successfully manage their health, I've found out that there's certain foods that some people respond really well to based on some characteristics of their pathology and their personality. And so that's why I selected the certain foods. You could, if you wanted to, eat more or different foods than what I've actually suggested you should eat. And if you do that, then just maybe you might not get the same result that I would expect you to get, or you might get a better result than what I'd expect you to get. But it could be it's a different result to what you'd expect to get. So I'll just stick to the body types. Don't ask too many questions about it. It's just based on information that I've worked out over the years, and it seems to work really, really well. You've obviously, if you're doing the program, then you've been convinced by the results that we've already got, and these are the results that I would like to have for you. So it's just that these foods are the way to go for your body type based on the information that you gave me. Does that make sense, Briggsy, or did I take that out too long?
No, it's great. But when you said these are the results that I want for you, and I say this often, so that you've got to want it more than we want it.
Yeah.
So you've got to think of the stuff that you're given as a tool, but you're the person who actually takes it and does the application. So, again, some people might take this in a negative way, and it's not actually meant like that, but you've got to care more about yourself than we care about you, because at the end of the day, if you have your own back and and people will think this is this whole selfish thing, but if you look after yourself first, you're much able to look after, other people. So you've got to have your own back.
Yeah.
Do it. Don't play with it. Just do it. If the people who play with it in extremes, and they're very rare, but they might be one or two a year, are the people that just will never get it because they'll just jump from one thing to the other, keeping playing with it because they know better. And it's like, well, actually, if you do know better, why are you here? So, once it's that whole, do it my way, and then you can do it your way once you've got, or make some slight changes once you've actually got the result that you're aiming for. So get the result first, and then think about, how much am I keeping? And, most people who go on to have, lifelong success, or they're ongoing success because we've been going for a whole person's lifetime, but they, they keep probably, 90% of the program in, maybe more, and then they'll do, they'll make the alterations that suit their lifestyle. So,
Yeah, that's true. Because we're about to finish up, I just thought that it might be a really key thing just to, for you to share what you would like to see for people and the reason why we've done this program. And I'm going to share that same thing too. The reason why I do what I do within this program, and, both Phyllis and I have done this program now for, 3.5 years? Would that be right? Yeah, mm-hmm. 3.5 years.
Something like that.
And it's all been free. We've never actually taken a wage from this program. So it's always been off our back. It's just been something that we've enjoyed doing and we've loved doing.
Well, it's not been free. It's been our time being contributed.
Yeah, well,
you know, they pay for everything that happens. But yeah, I know what you're trying to say.
We haven't taken
away. It's a love job.
Yeah, it's a love job. Yeah, a love job. That's what I was looking for. So, it's, you know, it's certainly obviously running these sorts of things, there's costs involved. So it's kind of been a bit of a charity deal. But the thing that inspires me the most is to see people change their life and become healthy and live a bit of life. And so, putting this program together hasn't been about helping people lose weight, although that has been a massive side effect of what happens when you make people healthy. It has been purely about helping people get healthy and get well and stay on track and get on track. And you know, it inspires me to read of the people that have managed to do that, and it encourages me to know that people continue to try to achieve that. But if you can keep in mind that this is not just a weight loss journey, this is actually a health journey. And if that there becomes your focus, that your goal, which would be my goal, which, you know, I'm just taking along with me, would be to be as healthy as you possibly can be in any possible given circumstance, then the results will come. And it takes you've got to take your mind off the weight loss side of things and get going with the health side of things, or the health gaining side of things. And that's what I want for people. I just want people to be super healthy and super well. That's why I do it.
Yeah, and, you know, I want people to see what maybe they can't see, you know, it comes in the end. So I think about people, I look at the challenges that are, you know, they class themselves past challenges now, but I look at the world that they've opened up for themselves. So there are people going on to, you know, do amazing, incredible things. And when I say amazing, incredible, this is not about, you know, I don't know, becoming president or anything. It's about what they've put into their day. So their lives have become abundant and full. Again, I'm not saying anyone's empty, but just opens a whole new world up to people because of what their focus is moving forward. I'm trying to avoid saying people's names and examples because then I identify them, but I'm going to use Belinda because I'm sure she won't mind. But, you know, Belinda has a food company that, you know, everything's made with love, and she put, you know, when she creates something, she thinks about what the long-term effect on people are going to be when they buy her product. And I think the trouble with the world today is that we have food product, you know, we have chemicals that are food-like products. So everybody thinks that you're going to die and fall over if you don't eat a muffin, or, you know, if that's removed out of your normal day. You know, it's just chemicals, you know. And I just think the world has become to accept it, even right down to that a seed that you grow now might not be what you think it was originally, you know. So it's vast. So I think on an individual basis, if people step up and take the whole health thing and, you know where their food comes from, and even if it's a little thing, like for me, I just couldn't drink a glass of Coke ever again, you know, ever. So it might sound huge, but if we have people not drinking that kind of stuff, fantastic, and for the right reasons, you know. I'm not being righteous or anything like that. I just wouldn't do it. So, you know, was that a long, waffly response?
That was long. That was long. I must admit to drifting off a little bit there, but I'm sure it was profound. I'm sure
it was.
I actually found myself dreaming about Bali again, but there you go.
My soothing voice.
Take me to that place. Well, everybody, What?
That's it.
That's it. You're on holidays. It's time for you to gallivant across the other side of the world to... Where are you going?
Going to Fiji. I've actually got a whole day. I've got 4 days of work to do and 1 day today. Fiji.
Well, Bula Vanaka, and have a ripper time away. And everybody, I'll be on the call all by myself next Tuesday night. So tune in there, bring all your questions with you, and let's have a ripping 30 minutes when we get going next week or next Tuesday. But hopefully you enjoyed this call. Hopefully it's giving you some pearls, and it may not be what you thought you were going to get from a call tonight, but I'm sure that if you listen to it again, you'll get more than what you ever expected to get.
I think it's been a great call. I think people will get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've said some profound things.
Yes, you did. Very profound. All right, Buddha.
All right, thanks.
Bye, Buddha.